Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. These are God's words. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of Samaria. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. When we read things like this, it's tempting to focus, especially on speculating what it's like to be talked to directly by the Holy Spirit. Some people actually think that the Holy Spirit gives them specific verbal instructions now. But one of the great things that we see as the Holy Spirit starts to spread the gospel now, even beyond the region of Judea and Samaria, is that he does it through the preaching of Christ. Even when he gives Philip specific direction to go towards Gaza, and this would be a long trip. Gaza was in the southwest corner of Judea, and Philip had gone north into Samaria, and so he goes down toward Gaza as the Spirit directs him to, and he has this encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian has been, of course, marvelously selected by the Holy Spirit. He is a member of the Queen's court. He has great authority. He is the keeper of the entire treasury. And yet he is what would have been called a God-fearer. He worships the one true God. And he apparently has liberty to worship the one true God. Because even though he's under the queen, of course, but he's allowed to come and go to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping at the temple. And so you have a man who has the favor of the queen. He has liberty for worshiping the true God. He has much influence over a great and mighty and massive nation. And this is the one that the Holy Spirit singles out here. But the the passage is bookended by Peter and John preaching as they go from Samaria back to Jerusalem in verse 25, and Philip preaching as he goes. He disappears from the road down toward Gaza, and he reappears in Azotus or Ashkelon, as it was also called, or sorry, not Ashkelon, Ashdod, as it was also called. And he starts going north, and he goes north all the way to the upper border of Galilee. And so there's this expansion in every direction in our passage, and then this kind of transplant, shooting the gospel to Ethiopia. And it all happens primarily by preaching. So when Philip meets the Ethiopian, we're to understand that the spirit who told Philip to go was also the one in whose providence that man happened to already believe in the true God and be prepared to hear about and believe in the Christ. The Spirit is the one who organized, ordained, and sovereignly ruled where that man would be. The Spirit is the one who oversaw where that man would be reading in the Scripture. A preacher, a Christian, should understand his Bible well and how Jesus connects to the whole Bible and be able to start from the Scripture where a person is and preach Jesus to someone. But if they happen to be in Isaiah 53, it's much easier. It's one of the clearest prophecies of Christ and his atonement in all of Scripture. And so we see that the Spirit who gave Philip specific instructions in the account that primarily makes up our passage today is the same one who rules and overrules all things at all times, who gives men to be in the positions that they are in, and gives men to have whatever measure of grace or faith they have. And so we don't have to covet or desire that we would hear the Spirit say specific words to us. Instead, we should receive all of our life as from his providence, but see not just sovereign providence as God rules and overrules all things, but sovereign grace. That the purpose for us being wherever we are, you can go get a tissue, Habibi. The purpose for us being wherever we are is that we would know Christ, and that whatever people we have these divine appointments to interact with, we should be looking for an entry to preach Christ to them. And to whatever extent the Lord has made them interested or awakened their hearts, or perhaps even has them reading the Bible when we meet them or discussing the Bible, we're to receive all of that as the work of the Spirit, and to understand the intersection between our purpose of knowing Christ and making him known and his providence of ruling and overruling all things. Sometimes you'll hear someone say, well, that was a divine appointment. They're all divine appointments. And hopefully what someone means when they say that is that the particular providence of who was there and what they were interested in and what they were doing intersects with our purpose, intersected well with our purpose of knowing Christ and making him known. So two big things we need to learn from this is knowing our purpose, to know Christ and make him known. This is one of the things that our family worship times and our private worship times, and especially the Lord's Day, right? And wasn't when we had the fourth commandment in the evening sermon last week, That was kind of a main thing, right? It teaches us our purpose and our pleasure. But we're often forgetful of God. We're often forgetful of Christ. And so the more constantly we are aware of our purpose to know Christ and to make him known, the more prepared we will be when we see providence bringing an assignment, as it were, someone who has been prepared by the Holy Spirit and will be looking for opportunities. And then you see the tool that the Spirit uses is preaching. So you have preaching at the bookends of the passage, as Philip goes and as Peter and John go, and of course they are officers of the church, and so they have a special call for this. But we too should always be ready to give an answer for our hope. Our mouths should be full of the praise of Christ. And in many ways, the preaching of the gospel is just the praise of Christ. It's the declaring of who he is. It's the declaring of what he has done. It is the declaring of his sufficiency and abundance for what everyone we meet most needs, and for all of their smaller needs as well. So the more we understand our purpose to know Christ and to make him known, the more prepared we will be for this preaching. And you notice preaching is what the Spirit uses, even when the Spirit is very kind of actively, specifically instructing and directing. Yeah, run here, overtake the chariot, talk to this man. He still has appointed to use his word and the preaching of Jesus from the Bible as the means by which he gives faith. And the Spirit, of course, gives that faith. He believes with all his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The apostolic message about Jesus is true. So that's what, even when the Lord does marvelous, miraculous things to bring someone to desire to hear Christ or desire to be saved, when he's working in someone's heart, even if it's a miracle on the order of Acts chapter 8 and Philip and the eunuch, his appointed means for bringing people to faith is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This, of course, is recognized when the man wants to be baptized. He wants to be added to the church, identified with the church. He's about to be in Ethiopia, whereas, as far as we know, and it seems quite likely that this is the case, there are no Christians yet. And so he's going to be a church of one at first. Not even a household, right? Because he's a eunuch. No wife or children involved. But he's going to be a church of one. At first, he wants to be identified. He wants to receive that sign and seal that says it's Jesus who saved him. It's Jesus who poured out his Spirit upon him. It's Jesus who made his heart alive so he could believe. It's Jesus who has assured that all of his sins are forgiven. And so he would receive the sign and the seal and the connection to Pentecost and the apostles and the deacons and Judea and Samaria would be cemented by the fact that it's the same Savior, by the same Spirit, using the same preaching of the same gospel, and that it's all one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So let us recognize our purpose and God's providence, the Spirit's providence, and then that the Spirit's appointed means is preaching, and then by baptism, that it's the Spirit's power who which gives all of this salvation. Let's pray. Father, we pray that that which was spoken and heard in weakness, you would attend by the same power in which you gave faith to the eunuch, even as signified and sealed upon us in our own baptisms, that it is your Son, the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, ascended, enthroned mediator, the God-man, who has poured out his Spirit on us, so that what we do here in our weakness, we do in dependence upon the power of your Spirit, who uses this word as the glory of Christ is set forth in his person and work. And so we pray that you would continue to increase our faith, particularly that we would know Christ and make him known as our purpose in life, and that this would prepare us to recognize the appointments of your providence. Help us, O God, we pray, by your power and your grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.